The Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, these words. He said, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, that is, make your calling and election sure, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you'll never fail. And an abundant entrance will be opened for you into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's our subject today. Is my name written in heaven? Is my name written in heaven? Now, Almighty God has a book. He calls it my book. In the book of Exodus, chapter 32, Moses, speaking in defense of the rebellious children of Israel, stood before God. I don't understand these words. I do know that Moses said them. He said, "Lord, if you won't forgive the people, then blot me out of the book that you've written." And this was the Lord's reply to Moses when Moses said that. God said to Moses in chapter 32 of Exodus, verse 33, Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. God has a book. He calls it my book. Now, this book also is called the Book of Life. In Revelation 20, verse 12, and again, verse 15, it says, "Another book was opened, which is the Book of Life." God calls it my book, and he calls it the Book of Life. And verse 15 says, "Whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire." God's book, the Book of Life. And then in Revelation 21, that book is called the Lamb's Book. Who is the Lamb? The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb. John the Baptist pointed to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." So Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And this book, God's book, the Book of Life, is called the Lamb's Book of Life. And in Revelation 13:8, it says, "The book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." Our Lord told his disciples, one day they came back from preaching, and they were marveling. They said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us." And this is what our Lord said to them. He said, Rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And then in Hebrews 12, verse 23, the writer of Hebrews talks about the church of the firstborn. That's the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's firstborn from the dead, first begotten. He says, "The church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven." So my subject today and my question is my name written in heaven? Is your name written in heaven? I know that God's book, he calls it my book, the book of God's decrees, the book of God's purposes, is closed to the curiosity of men. I know that. No man's ever looked thereon. It will be open someday. That's when he said that the dead will stand before God and the books will be opened and the dead shall be judged out of those things written in the book. And then he said, then another book will be opened, which is the Book of Life. And it's not opened. It'll be opened someday. That time will come in God's good pleasure. But I must be honest, as I hope you will be too. I'd like to look at that book, wouldn't you? I'd love to look within the pages of God's book. The Book of Life, the Book of the Lamb of God. I'd like to look in. I tell you, whose name would you look for first? Whose name would you look for? Why, you'd look for your own. I would look for mine. Secondly, you'd probably look for your wife or husband's name. Then you'd look for all your children's names, and then your loved ones, and then your friends, and you'd be interested. I'd be interested in looking into that book. That's just being honest. I would. Mrs. James L. Gray, 1843, wrote these words. Am I called? Am I called? Can it be? Has the Savior chosen me? Guilty, sinful as I am, will He own my worthless name? Is my name written there? Vilest of the vile am I. Dare I raise my hopes so high? Am I called? Am I an heir of God, washed, redeemed by His precious blood? A lot of people have talked about this subject. Is my name written there? Charles Spurgeon. You're familiar with Charles Spurgeon. I don't suppose there's been in the last 200 or 300 years a preacher as well known and heard by so many people as Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And I came across some comments he made about this book of life. Is my name written there? This is what he said on the subject. How can I know whether I am elected of God to everlasting life? How can I know if my name is written in God's book of life? This is a question of vast importance to me. My eternal interests are involved in this matter. Am I among that unhappy number who will hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire"? Or do I belong to that blessed company who shall hear the Lord say, "Though they have sinned, and they're washed in His blood, but they shall hear the Lord say in that day, enter ye blessed. Enter ye blessed into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Is my name written in heaven? Spurgeon continued. He said, until that question is answered, at least to some extent, for me, I can find no rest. Until that question, at least to some extent, is answered for me, I can find no rest, because my relationship with Christ concerns me more than all the affairs of this life. If I cannot see the book of life, how can I know if my name is written there? Well, here comes the answer. While God has not published the names of those who have been written in the book of life, and no man knows whose name is in that book of certainty, yet God has a lot to say about those people whose names are written in the book of life. He has a lot to say about those people. He has a lot to say about their calling. He has a lot to say about their character. He has a lot to say about their conduct. Our children, when we used to travel a lot, our children would play a game called Who Am I? And they would give clues. They would be thinking of a person's name. The other people wouldn't know who they were thinking about. They had a name on their hearts or minds, and they'd be, and then they'd start giving clues. They'd start telling how old this person is, what color his hair is, what male or female, what kind of car they drove, where they live, things. And the other children would try to guess, who am I? By the character and conduct and personalities and characteristics of that person. And God, let me repeat that now, while God has not published the names of His people and those whose names are written in the book of life, He has a lot to say about their character and a lot to say about their conduct and a lot to say about their attitude and a lot to say about their calling and their conversation. Let's see if we can find out something about these people. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Or 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, this church at Thessalonica was special to the Apostle Paul. Paul came to Thessalonica on one of his missionary trips, and he preached to this church for 3 solid weeks. And the foundation of the church was laid. Many of these people were converted. They were brought to knowledge of Christ. Paul preached to them, and a church was born. People were saved. Foundation laid for a ministry there. And then Paul left. And Timothy came back to Thessalonica, and Timothy preached to them and established them in the faith of Christ Jesus. And then Timothy returned to Paul and told Paul about these people. About their, you'll find it in verse 3 there of 1 Timothy 1. He told Paul about their works of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope. Their faith, hope, and love. And Paul wrote this epistle, 1 Thessalonians, to that church. When Timothy came to him and told him about their work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. Now, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 4. What follows here are the reasons why Paul believes these people belong to God. He said in verse 4, listen, I know brethren, talking to the church now, brethren, this is not written indiscriminately to the whole world, it's written to the brethren. I know, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And then Paul gives reasons why he knows that they're God's elect, why he knows that their names are written in heaven, why he knows that they'll be among those people who will be conformed to the image of Christ. He gives several reasons why he knows they're God's sheep and why he knows they're God's elect. He said, brethren, I know that you are elect of God. Verse 5, look at it. You have your Bible open? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For, he said, I know you're God's elect, for our gospel didn't come to you in word only, in doctrine, in creed only. But our gospel, this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, came to you in power. It's not just a theory. It's not just a creed. It's not just a doctrine to you. This gospel of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us came to you in power. It came to you in the Holy Spirit, the regenerating, convicting, converting work of the Holy Spirit, and it came to you in much assurance. In other words, this is the first characteristic or calling of the people of God. Those whose names are written in heaven hear the gospel. They hear it in heart. They hear it in conviction of sin. They hear it in regeneration of the Holy Spirit. They hear it in conversion. Not very awful long ago, a man came up to me and he said, you know, I heard you preach a long time before I really heard you. Do you know what he was saying? I heard you preach a long time before I really heard you. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that people hear preachers and they hear scripture read, then one day the Spirit of God takes that gospel and sends it deeper than the mental faculties, sends it to the heart. And that person is regenerated, convicted of sin, brought to hear that gospel, to believe it, to love it, to receive it. Saul of Tarsus was a very religious man. Then one day he heard the gospel of Christ on the road to Damascus. God arrested him. God stopped him. God revealed himself to him. He heard. So that's the first mark of those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They've heard the gospel. They've heard it in power, in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance. Look at verse 6. Second reason Paul gives for believing these people are elect of God and their names are written in the Book of Life. He said, you became followers of the Lord and of us. Those whose names are written in heaven hear the gospel. They hear it in power in the Holy Ghost, and they confess Christ as their Lord, and they follow Him. They follow Him. Christ said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and another shepherd they will not follow. They follow me. They identify with the Lord's people. They love the Lord. They follow Him in obedience, in worship, in godliness, in truth. They love the house of God and the people of God, and they seek the company and fellowship of God's people. You became followers of us and of the Lord. They receive the word. He said, you receive the word. You receive it in much affliction, but you receive it in the joy of the Holy Spirit. Do you love the Word of God? Do you love the house of God? Do you love the people of God? Do you follow the Lord? There was a man in the Old Testament whose name was Caleb. Caleb. Actually, the meaning of the name is a faithful dog. And it says every time the name of Caleb is mentioned in the Old Testament, it follows with this word. He followed the Lord fully. Caleb, he followed the Lord fully. That's the mark of a man whose name's in the book of life. He follows the Lord. And then look at verse 3. So that you were examples. Or verse 7, here's the third reason. Paul said, I know you're God's elect, so you were examples to all who believe in Macedonia and Achaia, in your area and outside your area. You were examples. Now, let me pause here a moment. Of course, no believer claims to be perfect. No believer claims to be a pattern for other people. No believer would say, be like me. Walk like me. Talk like me. Do like I do. Say what I say. No, not for a moment. Christ is our pattern. Christ is our example. Christ our Lord is perfect. He's the only one who is. He's the only one who is to be followed fully. Caleb followed the Lord. Christ our Lord is our pattern. We long to be like Him. But how then are we, whose names are in the book of life, how are we examples? Well, here's the way we're examples. Those whose names are written in the book of life have heard the gospel. They believe God. They follow the Lord. In this, they're examples. They have left the old way and the old walk and the old world, and they're following the Lord. In this, they're examples. They're identified with the people of God in worship, in fellowship, in faithfulness. In this, they're examples. They've heard the Word of God and believed the Word of God and loved the Word of God, even in affliction and trial. In this, they're examples. They love one another and they help one another and they seek to glorify God in their lives. And in this, they're examples. All that I've read thus far in this scripture, that's an example. I know you're God's elect. You've heard the gospel and believed it and followed the Lord and us and received the word in much affliction, but with much joy. And in this, you're examples. Examples. All right, look at verse 8. Here's the fourth reason why Paul believed these people's names were in the book of life. From you sounded out the word of the Lord. Not only in Macedonia where you live, but all around the world, your faith in God is known and spoken of. My friends, those who have heard the gospel in power want others to hear it the same way. They don't want others just to get religion or to reform their lives. They want them to hear the gospel, the true gospel, the gospel of God's grace, the gospel of God's mercy, the gospel of God's peace in Christ Jesus. They want other people to hear this gospel. It's not just a matter of going to church on Sunday. They want others to hear this gospel. And those who know the Lord and follow the Lord, they want others to know Him and to follow Him. And those who have found peace, the peace of God, and a hope, a good hope through grace, and love in Christ, they want others to find that same peace and joy and hope and love. Not just to get religion, but to know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. These people witness. And they speak a word in due season. And they support true pastors and true missionaries. And they're faithful to the house of God because from them sounds out the word of God. God opens for them an effectual door to tell others what He's done for them. That's the best witnessing in the world. I heard a definition of witnessing one time. The very best witnessing is one beggar telling another beggar where he got a good meal, where he found bread. That's right. Back in Depression days, I go back that far, and I remember the hobos and beggars coming by our house, and mother would feed them, and then another bunch would come by, and another bunch. Those fellas told the others about my mother, and about her meals, and about her kindness, and wherever they'd go out there on the streets, they'd say, I'll tell you where you can get a good meal. I'll tell you where you can get some bread. I'll tell you where you can get a handout. I'll tell you for sure. where you can get some nourishment. And that's witnessing. You can't tell what you haven't learned and haven't experienced. You can't tell what you don't know anymore, and you can come back where you hadn't been. But if you know Him, you can tell about it. If He's visited you in grace, you can tell about it. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Now look at verse 9. I tell you why I believe you're God's elect. The last line. He said, you turn from your idols to serve the living God. You actually turned from your idols. I looked up that word in the dictionary. An idol. What is an idol? Well, this is the definition. Standard definition. An idol is an object of worship other than the true and living God. An object of worship. An idol is an object of excessive devotion and admiration other than Christ, the Lord. That can be self. Self can be an idol. Self-love, self-righteousness, family, fame, applause, popularity. An idol is an object of excessive devotion and admiration. It's what a person clamors after. You know, the Apostle Paul said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. He said, I count all things but loss. He talked about his heritage. He talked about his learning. He talked about his accomplishments. He talked about his successes. He talked about his religion. He said, I count these things but dung. These were idols. These were things in which I trusted. That which I considered gain, I count loss. I've turned from these idols to the living God. I tell you, an idol is material obsession. Obsession with riches, jewelry, clothes, houses, land, a better job, automobiles, idols. An idol, here's the best definition, an idol is an imposter. It cannot do for you what you need to have done. It's an imposter. That's right. Christ can't. He's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to keep you from falling. He's able to translate you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son. He's able to do all things. Riches, wealth, glory, fame, world, materialism can't do any of the things that it promises. All it can do is crumble like the little sandcastle you built on the beach when the tide comes in, when years pass, when old age takes over and death. Humbles. But He ever lives. An idol. An idol is an excessive devotion. An idol is an imposter. An idol is a material obsession. An idol is anything you put before Christ. It's an idol. And He says, I know your names in the book of life. You turn from your idols deliberately and willingly to serve the living God. And then verse 10 is the sixth reason. And He says, and you're waiting for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. We're waiting. We're waiting. Our Lord Jesus Christ was talking to His disciples one day, and He said, now let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now I go to the cross and to the tomb and to the right hand of God to prepare you for the place and to prepare the place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the disciples said, Lord, we don't know where You're going. We don't know where You're going. We've never been there. I've never seen heaven. I've never seen the gates of glory. I've never seen the streets of gold. I've never seen the mansions in glory. I don't know where You're going. That's what they said. We don't know where You're going. How can we know the way? He said to them, I'm the way. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. And I'll tell you, those whose names are written in heaven, they've heard the gospel of Christ and believed it. And they're following that Lord Jesus Christ. They're obsessed with Him and with His Word. They're following Him. And they're fellowshipping with one another. And I'll tell you, they're examples. Examples of faith, hope, and love. And from their hearts and from their fellowships goes forth to others this glorious gospel. They're telling beggars where to find bread. They're telling other hobos where to get help. The Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have laid down their idols. They turned from their idols. Idols are imposters. I hear people talk about what they gave up when they came to the Lord. I didn't give up anything. I received a whole lot. Everything that I laid down wasn't fit to have. Everything that I turned away from wasn't fit to associate with. Everything that everybody I turned away from wasn't fit to associate with. I gave up nothing. I received everything. Turn from the imposters. Turn from your idols to the living God. And I tell you, we're waiting for His Son. And the angel said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so come in like manner. Is my name written in heaven? I believe it is. And I believe many of you, your name's in the book of life.